In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we begin part two of Luisa and the Mediatrix of All Divine Life. And we begin on in volume 26, 4-7-1929. My daughter Luisa, by not doing my most holy divine will, mankind is putting their clashing note in our work of creation. And therefore, Adam basically lost the accord with all created things. When Adam didn't do the will of God, but did his human will, he lost the accord with all created things. And this is the reason why there were earthquakes, floods, famines, and plagues. When we sin, there's no such thing as personal sin that only affects me. When I sin, it only affects me. No, it affects everyone. It affects the world. And like this thing of losing the accord with all created things, when, like for example, let's look at Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a new study that just came out that said it was a meteorite that crashed in that area, not crashed, came down in that area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was like a 10 megaton atomic bomb that went off, and everything in that area was just completely pulverized. Now, is that by chance? No. Scripture says this was the punishment that was brought upon mankind. How? By their sin. You know, one of the things that Jesus tells us is that there will be a great chastisement. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, why? What did we do? Well, let's just look at abortion. The killing of the innocents. This is a crime of vengeance of God. It's one of the seven sins that bring punishment from heaven. And this is what happens when we're not in the will of God. You know, if we're not one with God, and we're in rebellion against the will of God, all of creation comes against us. It's not just our sin. I remember giving a talk years ago, and I said, when we sin, it causes earthquakes. And somebody said, you mean to tell me when I sin, there will be an earthquake? And I said, yeah, that's what has to happen. Creation is coming against us. Creation is we're not in harmony with creation, and therefore with this being out of sync with God, everything starts to fall apart. So, you know, that's why, you know, sacred scripture says there'll be earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues before the coming of the Son of God, the Son of Man, excuse me. This is where we are. So Jesus says, therefore, Adam lost the accord with all created things, and we, triune God, feel the sorrow, we feel the dishonor that there is a string out of tune in our divine work. And all of creation is in harmony with God. The sunrise, the sunset, the waves coming in, the waves going out, the cycle of the moon. Everything is in common with God, one with God, in tune with God. Now think about that. If you have a guitar, and one string is just wrong, or one key on the piano is wrong, it's not in tune. It just brings you a cringe, like, ooh, you know, it's just as there's something wrong. Fix this. And that's what happens with creation. Creation recognizes that we are outside the perfect will of God because of doing our human will. And he says, It's this dishonor that there is a string out of tune for our divine work, and that does not produce a most beautiful sound, a most divine sound. See, this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to want this gift of the divine will so much that everything becomes back in order. Everything is the way God has planned it to be. So he says, this sound that is out of tune moves away from the earth, all the earth, the divine kisses, the divine joys, the divine smiles that my most holy divine will contains in creation. It's out of order. There isn't that kiss between heaven and earth anymore. There isn't that divine joy. And that's why Jesus says, I'm going to give you my joy, my divine joy, so that your joy will be complete. The smiles of heaven. He says, therefore, Luisa, he says this to her, the soul that does not, who does my holy divine will, and that's you, Luisa, and lives in my divine will, is the note of accord with everyone and everything. Everything in creation is now in perfect accord again. The key on the piano is in tune. The string on the guitar is in tune. And everything begins to be perfect again. See, we are the only ones that are out of order. And God wants to bring this accord back. And he says, therefore, it's the soul who does the will of God. But not only does the will of God, and this is the most important thing, but lives in the will of God. The saints did the will of God, and beautiful, holy, saintly. Yet, let's just look at the North American martyrs, all these great Jesuits who gave their life, shed their blood, went through great martyrdoms, great horrific martyrdoms. Yet, the land is not Catholic yet. The land is not universal yet. Their martyrdoms we have to complete their martyrdoms. What does that mean? To repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is what God is waiting for, to repair and redo. So when the life of a saint comes up, what are we called to do? We're called to say, I want one with Luisa. Not only doing the will of God, but living in the will of God, repairing. I want to repair for what this saint lacked. I want to redo what they have done in the divine will. So it is in perfect harmony, perfect order. See, this is what God is waiting for. We are called to repair and redo. Like a couple days ago, it was the feast of St. Lucy. You know, her eyes were cut out, gouged out. And when you look at the image of St. Lucy, she had beautiful eyes. And because she would not sin, she would not turn away from God. They cut out her eyes. And that's why she holds the plate with her eyes on it. But she has new eyes. Okay, how can we redo this? Lord Jesus, I want to see divinely. I want you, Jesus, to gaze in my gazing. I want you, Jesus, to see in my seeing. I want you, Jesus, to show me the divine realities, not just the human realities, not just the saintly realities, but the divine realities that are found in the book of heaven. As I read the book of heaven, I want you, Jesus, to, as you are gazing in my gazing, as you are reading my reading, bring about in my intellect, my human intellect, a divine understanding. See, this is what Jesus is asking us. That's the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. Jesus says this. He says, not only does the soul who lives in the divine will and does the divine will, not only is it a note of accord with everything and everyone, her sound contains a divine note, not of sorrow, but of divine joy, of divine happiness, and is so harmonious that everyone perceive. See, this is what's so great about the divine will. The face of the earth is being renewed. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, who are not living the Catholic life, don't want the Catholic life. By you repairing and redoing, they are beginning to experience the divine joy, divine happiness, the divine harmony. This is what they begin to experience, and you can see it in their eyes. You could hear it in their voice. So Jesus is saying, are you willing to bring about the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies with Luisa Picaretta to all the earth? Are you willing to bring heaven to earth? So what happens is everybody begins to perceive little by little. And again, don't expect major miracles to happen in an instant. That will happen someday. In the twinkling of an eye, everything's going to happen. But right now, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give to you what you are wishing for, what you are praying for, little by little, until your whole life is focused on the divine will. And this is what he says. He says, even the very elements, there is the note of my divine will in the creature, in Luisa. And though putting aside everything, this is everything that is human, putting aside everything of the earth, focusing on the divine. And that's what the divine will is. Why are the people who are reading the divine will so happy? They're happy because they have heaven. See, the Book of Heaven is, Jesus gave that title to these 36 volumes. He gave it to St. Honorable de Francia. In volume 19, read it. It's so powerful. And he says, why? Because the kingdom is coming. And it begins in the souls who are reading the Book of Heaven. As you read this, as you study this, your life becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy amid all the sorrow that you're going through. You look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, who are not living that Catholic life, that universal life that Adam possessed. And again, we're not. Nobody is. But as we read this, what happens is you become aware that God is getting everything ready. And he's asking us to be one with Luisa so that the kingdom can be established. So we put aside everything. We say, I want to focus on this gift of gifts. So he says, as they put away everything, as they want to enjoy Luisa, who possesses that my holy divine will, by which they are all animated and preserved. So here, what's going to happen as you focus on this gift is you're going to recognize Luisa. And Jesus says to Luisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. So we're not focusing on Luisa because of Luisa. We're focusing on Luisa, excuse me, because of Jesus and Mary who reign in Luisa. The new Adam and the new Eve. You know, we have a desire to consecrate our homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We consecrate our lives to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And now Jesus and Mary are giving us the way, the perfect way to do this. And that is through Luisa, a human who possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And that's why he says, everybody puts everything aside because they want to enjoy Luisa. Luisa, who possesses that most holy divine will by which the souls who are reading the Book of Heaven are all animated and preserved. How glorious is this? To be living at this time. To be given the Book of Heaven. To be given, as Jesus says, to Luisa, the Gospel of the Kingdom. Then Jesus kept silent. Now, the reason Christ is silent, and it's for us to ponder in our hearts what he just said. He's silent because this is so precious. This is so delicious. This is so magnificent that I want you to focus on this. Taste this. Taste what Jesus just said. Everyone is going to put everything aside to go to Louisa. Louisa, he says, who possesses the divine will by which everyone is animated and preserved. So Jesus is silent, and Louisa says to him, My love, you have told me many times that the one who lives in your divine will is a sister to all creation. I, Louisa, want to see whether my sister Light recognizes me. And do you know how? So she's saying, I want to know. Does the she's going to talk about the sun. Does the sun recognize me? And he says, this is how I want it to be done. If I'm looking at the sun, it does not dazzle my eyes. It doesn't blind me. Now, there are many who have seen the miracle of the sun in recent years. And starting with Fatima, the people saw the sun spinning, you know, shooting out colors, and in many holy places, the miracle of the sun is happening, where God is allowing those souls to see a divine reality that, you know, as my father would say, don't stare at the sun, you'll go blind, you know. And now it's, and again, you don't stare at the sun. I mean, don't say, well, I want to see if I have this, and stare at the sun, and, you know, you go blind. There are people that get, you know, those blind spots in their eyes because they refuse not to look at the sun because they say, I want to see this. And no, you don't do that. If that gift is given, you glance at the sun and it won't even hurt. It won't even hurt your eyes. Now, I'm not recommending that people look into the sun, but this is what Louisa said. I want to see the sun, and it does not dazzle my eyes. And Jesus said, certainly, the sun shall recognize you, Louisa. Try and you will see. So she's under obedience to Jesus. Jesus tells her to do this. Again, like I said, you don't just stare at the sun. My father was correct. You stare at the sun, you're going to go blind. Now, if Jesus says, look at the sun, that's a whole different story. But you have to, again, we have to get to the point of understanding the voice of Jesus. Our own voice and the voice of the devil, the evil one. The evil one always mimics. So the flames of hell mimic the light of heaven. The voice of the evil one, it's usually easy to hear. He's always condemning. He's always angry. He's always jealous. All the vices. And you have to recognize that is the voice of the evil one. The flames of hell mimic the light of heaven. The angel, the devil, the sacred scripture tells us that the devil can come as an angel of light. So again, and we don't know. Saint Teresa says that too. She says we don't know whether that is Jesus appearing in front of us in the most beautiful image or not. But if you have a duty, a responsibility, like for example, prayer, and Jesus is right in front of you, beautiful as beautiful can be, and the bell rings for prayer, Saint Teresa says you go to prayer. Because you never know. And there are so many people that I've heard that say, well, I have this gift and I have that gift, you know, and I can do this and I can do that. I remember one lady in our town, she told everybody she had the gift of healing. God gave me the gift of healing. And everybody she laid hands on got sick. It wasn't God. And there are other people who say, well, Our Lady's speaking to me. Our Lord is speaking to me. And see, if Our Lord and Our Lady are speaking to you, number one, get a spiritual director. Get a good priest that you can go to. and never publish anything that you want done. Oh, Our Lady told me this, I got to tell the world this. No, it doesn't work like that. You should always be under obedience. Remember what St. Teresa said. If you don't have a spiritual director and you are directing yourself, you will direct yourself into hell. So again, you have to have, no one can discern by themselves. No one can. So now Louisa is a complete, I heard somebody say to me, well, Louisa didn't have a spiritual director, so I don't need a spiritual director. Well, you're not Louisa. I'm sorry to say. You need direction. And this is why the Archbishop said that the teachings of the divine will should be directed, should be taught by a priest. And I know many people 20, 30 years ago that I met who wanted to teach the divine will. And I said, well, go to the seminary. You know, go and get ordained. And then you can be sure that God is asking you to do this. And there are many people, I don't want to be ordained. I want to live my life, but I want to teach the divine will. Father Bucci says very clearly that this is the first bread. This is the bread that Jesus ate. This is the bread that Mary ate. This is the bread that Louisa fed on all her life. And the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, the priest is there to say at Holy Mass, this is my body, this is my blood. And it would be foolish for a layperson to stand at the altar and say that. It wouldn't, you know, it's just, it would be a pious thought, but it wouldn't be a reality. And Father Bucci says it's the same thing with the divine will. The divine will, Jesus says, will be given to the world through the priesthood, through the church. And we have to understand that. Again, you can disagree with it, you know, again. The Protestants have said, we do not want the Blessed Mother. Blessed are you among women. We do not want the Holy Eucharist. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. We do not want the Vicar of Christ. Blessed are you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. We don't want that. Okay, they don't have the fullness of the faith. They don't have the sacraments. They don't have the sacramentals. And they worship God, they say. Well, worship includes sacrifice. True worship includes sacrifice. And they don't have the holy sacrifice of the Mass. They don't have priesthood. And they have Protestantized the church. It's the same thing with this gift of the divine will. Don't Protestantize it. Make sure it's Catholic. Make sure it's universal. So he says very clearly, certainly the Son can recognize you, Louisa. Try and you will see. So she's under obedience. For example, going back to the, you know, your spiritual director, you would say, Father, this is what I think. You notice I said, Father. This is what I think God is asking me to do for Lent. And, you know, you discuss it with your priest. You know, types of fasting, types of penances, types of mortifications. And you say, this is what I think God is asking of me. Now, don't do anything on your own, because you can hurt yourself greatly. Go to your spiritual director and say, this is what I think God is asking. And then follow direction. If the priest says no, then you go, okay. It doesn't mean that you're evil. Doesn't mean that you're wrong. It's, you know, sometimes our zeal hurts without being tempered. Sometimes we're so zealous that we can be misled by the evil one to do things that will hurt us. I'm not going to eat for 40 days or for 40 nights. Well, that's a nice idea, but, you know, well, Jesus didn't, so I'm not going to. No, you see, again, good spiritual life is eating properly, sleeping properly, and exercising properly. You have to do those three things to have a good spiritual life. well, I'm too old, I'm too heavy, I'm too, whatever. It's no. You have to strive for that. You know, you have to strive for that perfection. So Louisa says, I looked straight into the center of the sphere of the sun, and the light seemed to caress my pupil without dazzling me, without hurting me, without blinding me. See, it's not to say, I'm going to stare into this until I can... No, you'll hurt yourself. So she says, I stared... Under the obedience that Jesus gave to her, I looked straight into the sun of the sphere of the sun, and the light seemed to caress my pupil without dazzling me in such a way that I was be able to look at it into its center. And listen to this, and its great sea of light, this ocean of light. She enters into it with her eyes. Now think about it. That's the fourth stage of living in the divine will, is to let go of all the things of the earth and enter into the sun of the divine will. See, it's, you have to understand, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion is so necessary every day. Every day you can get closer to God. Every day, if you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, your love for Jesus increases. And what happens is you fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus. You fall deeper and deeper in love with the Blessed Mother. You know, this is what God has planned. She says, oh, how clear and beautiful the sun was. Clear and beautiful, not painful. How true it is that the sun symbolizes the infinite, the endless sea of light of the divine fiat. And I said to Jesus, oh, thank you, O Jesus, for letting me be recognized by my sister Light. You know, you could get a glimpse of the saintliness of St. Francis, oh brother, sun, sister, moon. You know, it's she is going beyond what God gave to Francis. You know, Francis received the stigmata. Louisa received the stigmata. But she said, I want it invisible. I didn't want anybody to know. And Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt, who took care of Louisa for 40 years, would come into the room at certain times, and she would find Louisa covered in blood, the floor covered in blood, her bed covered in blood. And she'd run out. And, you know, if you've been to Corrado, if you've been to the room, you would know that where the towels were kept. And she'd run and grab the towels and run back into the room. And everything would be spotless. There was no blood. And the dead Louisa would be sitting in bed alive. And the Lord did this for our benefit. Even though Louisa says, I don't want anybody to know. God says, okay, nobody will know. I'll tell one person. Aunt Rosaria. And she tells us. She shows us. And it gives us an understanding, because Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa, I crucify you every day. You come to the point of death, and then I raise you up again, newborn. You come to death every day, and I raise you up to newborn. And what God does with us too is we become sick and ill, and then better, and then sick and ill, and then better. It's not to the degree that Louisa went through, but what God is asking us to go through. And it's to begin to understand that this life is to prepare us for eternal life. And the surprise that God did with Louisa is when she actually died, when the doctor said her body is not functioning, there was no heartbeat, but the blood was circulating through her veins. This is what the doctors heard. The blood is going through her veins, but there's no heartbeat. Her eyes are not dilated. They're as if she's alive. She, there was no rigor mortis with Louisa. Now think about this. She died every day, came back to life every day. And what happens when she dies, it's like she's asleep. She's even, excuse me, when you look at them carrying the coffin, the glass coffin, throughout through Corrado, her head goes from side to side. She's she's not like the dead. And when they opened her tomb, excuse me, and July 3rd, 1963, when they brought her body into the church, everybody saw her perfectly preserved. Everybody who was there saw her perfectly preserved. And that is a miracle that we will understand later on. Happy are those who have seen you before they die. This is something that's really, really amazing too, is they brought her into church after, you know, what Father Malachi Martin said, after they did the Satanic Mass in the Vatican in June 29th, 1963. It was almost as if God says, okay, you want the church? It's yours. And then what does he do? A few days later, he brings Louisa into the church. It's just, you can see God saying, okay, you want it? It's yours for a few days. What's coming is so beautiful. What's coming is so magnificent that it's the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. So Jesus shows us this with Louisa. And, I thank you for Jesus for letting me being recognized by my sister Light. And Jesus resumed his speaking, my daughter Louisa, even from the breath is one who lives in my will. Even from the breath, okay, the rule of God, this divine breath of God that God breathed into Adam, is the one, Louisa, who lives in my divine will, and therefore will be recognized by all of creation. All of creation is going to recognize you, Louisa. And it's the same thing for us. Once we have the fullness of this gift, all of creation will recognize us as well. Why? Because we're going to Louisa to get the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Because each created thing feels that in that creature, Louisa, the divine power of the fiat and the supremacy that God gave Louisa over the whole of creation. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? That God begins everything over again. Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, came to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve. Jesus dies on the cross, sheds every drop of his blood. He redeems us. Our Lady, with Jesus, co-redeemed with Christ. Jesus is the Redeemer, but Our Lady co-redeemed Christ with Jesus. And now, 2,000 years later, they have the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will, where he says very, very clearly, he says, this breath of God. Now, see, this is what we want. We want the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to reign in us, in our hearts, to breathe in us again, this breath of God. That's every time when you wake up in the morning, you take your first breaths, do this prevenient act so that, come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Breathe in me as you breathed into Adam. Breathe in me as you breathed into Louisa. Because each created thing feels that Louisa, in Louisa, the power of the fiat, the supremacy that God gave Louisa over the whole of creation. And then he says, look and listen, my daughter. And he says this to us, read and understand. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve were created, Eden was given to them as their dwelling, in which they were happy and holy. This garden is a simile of, this garden is a simile of that Eden. Now remember, this is volume 36, this is volume 26, this is the first day. She's in the garden, and when you go to Corrado, when you visit her chapel, visit the chapel at St. Anthony's Orphanage, the sanctuary was Luisa's bedroom. Where the tabernacle is, that's where her headboard was. The altar and the tabernacle was at the other side of the chapel, facing the east. And Luisa, when you read volume 25, finally, after 40 years, I finally see you, Jesus. You are my prisoner and I am your prisoner. And then volume 26, she goes outside and Jesus says, this garden is a simile of that garden, though it is not as beautiful and flowery. You have to know this, that now I, God, have permitted your coming into this house, this orphanage, that is surrounded by a garden. For you, Luisa, to be the new Eve, the third Eve. You have Adam and Eve, you have Jesus and Mary, and now you have the third Eve, Luisa. Luisa, you're not Eve the tempter who deserved to be put out of this happy Eden, but you, Luisa, are the Eve the reformer. You are Eve the restorer who shall call again the kingdom of my divine will upon earth. When you go out into that garden, remember the title that Jesus gave to Luisa. Luisa, you are the third Eve. You are the reformer. Luisa, you are the third Eve. You are the restorer of what? Of the kingdom of my divine will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says to Luisa, I don't want any difference between the souls in heaven and the souls on earth. He says, it won't matter to me where you are. If you're in heaven, you're with me. I'm reigning in you. If you're on earth, you're with me. I'm reigning in you. The kingdom is coming. You see why Jesus is saying to us, I want you to live without being enraptured with the things of earth, but the things of heaven. Because you, Luisa, are going to call everyone again to come into this kingdom on earth. Ah, yes, you, Luisa, you will be the seed. You will be the cement on the wormwood that is the human will. You will be the beginning of a new happy era. And this is why I, God, centralize in you, Luisa, divine joy, divine goods, divine happinesses of the beginning of creation. He's beginning it all over again. And I, God, love to repeat the conversations. I love to repeat the lessons. I love to repeat the instructions found in the book of heaven that I would have given to Adam if Adam had not withdrawn from my most holy divine will. This is what Jesus would have taught Adam to teach us, his children. But Adam fell, so Jesus came as the new Adam. Mary came as the new Eve. And they have a newborn, Luisa, who wrote everything down in this book of heaven. When you read the book of heaven, you are in heaven. Jesus has planned this. Therefore, he says, be attentive. What does that mean? Read. 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 And let your flight in the divine will be continuous. This is the flight to heaven. And it's the flight from heaven to earth. It's never going to end. World without end. This is not the end of the world. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno, 71 years ago in Rome, as Our Lady of Revelation, she says, my children are going to enter the beatific vision. Why? Time has now come to an end. The devil and his children will never enter into the beatific vision. They'll always be trapped in time and space. But you, my children, she says to Bruno, are going to enter into the kingdom. Volume 26, 5, 12, 19, 20, 29. My beloved daughter, You, Louisa, are my hope. You, Louisa, are God's hope. You know, we are always Christian hope is certitude. We're always praying for the virtue of faith, hope, the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. You, Louisa, are God's hope. You, Louisa, are the hope of the kingdom of God's most holy divine will upon earth. This is what Jesus is saying. This is what Jesus wants us to know. Is Louisa our hope? Jesus says, Louisa, you're my hope. Do we say the same thing? Do we echo Jesus' words? Louisa, you are my hope. I know we love the saints. We love the saints. Where's Louisa in all of that? Oh, I love St. Gertrude. I pray the St. Gertrude prayers every day. Oh, I love the Ignatius. I love St. Ignatius. I love his prayers. Oh, I love St. Francis. I love his prayers. Jesus never said to the saints, you are God's hope. He says this to Louisa. Louisa, you possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is my hope for my children, that they also possess my life and my mother's life. That hope does not say doubt, but certainty. I am certain. It's that, I hope it happens, I hope it happens. No, it's, I am certain it's going to happen. Because this kingdom is already present in you, Louisa Picaretta. Do we hear what Jesus is saying? Where is the kingdom of God present? In Louisa. Are we close to Louisa? Four people lived in the divine will. Jesus, Mary, Son of God, the Mother of God. Adam, before he fell, and Louisa Picaretta. Four people. And he says, this is what I got planned for you. Now, there are people that they're saying they're living in the divine will. Well, to live in the divine will means you don't have to go to confession. Every human has to go to confession. Because every human sins. The just man, scripture says, sins seven times a day. The just man. God wants us to possess this life. But nobody possesses it yet. The first person who will possess it, and this is why we pray for the Holy Father, will be the Holy Father. You need a man and a woman. Adam and Eve, Jesus and Mary, Louisa and who? It's the Vicar of Christ on earth. Well, what about St. Honorable de Francia? He never read 20 through 36 while on earth. We can read it. So we know that until these volumes came out, which they came out in 1996, February 2nd, 1996, the Feast of the Presentation. Not until then, until somebody, one of the pontiffs, one of the priests, one of the bishops, one of the cardinals, read all 36 volumes, will they be able to possess this gift. You can't possess it by just wishing it. And I hear people, many saints live in the divine will. No, Louisa lived in it. Louisa's the firstborn, the newborn. The one who will possess it next to her, and we read this in the three appeals, will be the Holy Father, because she says, you, Holy Father, must be the first to receive the fullness of this gift, in parentheses, next to me, Louisa. That's what Jesus says. The kingdom is already present in you. Your ways, Louisa, your prerogatives, Louisa, your narrations, Louisa, are all apartments for my divine fiat. Do we have those apartments? In you, Louisa, there are its foundations. In you, Louisa, there are its knowledges. And therefore, I, God, hope that its kingdom shall be formed and shall spread upon the earth through you, Louisa Picaretta. Those are Jesus' words. In you, I find all the foundations of the divine will. In you, I find all the knowledges of the divine will. Therefore, I hope, I am certain, I know as God this must happen, that its kingdom will be formed in you, Louisa, first. Then it's going to be given to the man with the keys, the Pope, who will open the door of the kingdom. And there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. These are glorious times to be living. These are magnificent times to be living. And God is going to change the face of the earth. We're going to go back to where we were before the fall. It's going to look as if Adam never sinned. How beautiful, how perfect, how holy. All of creation is going to be at man's service again. Because man will be in union with God. Why? Because of what Jesus and Mary gave to Louisa. What the Father placed in Louisa. What the Holy Spirit filled the treasures and the secrets of the divine will in Louisa. What a glorious time to be alive. What a magnificent time to be alive. Read. Study. Put this into practice. Know that Jesus has this planned. Jesus has this planned. You're in it. And He needs you to just read. Be attentive. Study this. Read this. And watch what God will do. We'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.